Chapter 8, Creativity. Page 131. Activity 2. Listening for main points about creativity. Part 1.
Today, we will continue our discussion of the creative process in general. Then, we'll take up the topic of what things might inhibit this creative process in your work. This topic is applicable to any type of work. Well, to pick up where we left off last time, creativity is mysterious. We all recognize it when we see it, but we don't really understand what it is or how it works. Some people seem to be naturally creative, but we don't know why they are. Is creativity an inborn gift like athletic ability? Or is it something that can be acquired like money or knowledge? Perhaps if we analyze the creative process carefully, we might get some ideas about what it is and how it works in our lives. The presence of the creative process has always been obvious in the arts, but creativity doesn't play a role only in the arts. Every major scientific discovery began with someone imagining the world differently from the way others saw it. And this is what creativity is all about, imagining the world in a new way. And despite what you may believe about the limits of your own creative imaginations, you do have the ability to imagine the world in an absolutely new way. In fact, everyone does. We're born with it. Cave painters in the Stone Age had it. Musicians in the last century had it. And you have it. And what's more, you use it every day, almost every moment of your life. Your creative imagination is what you use to make sense of your experiences. It is your creative mind that gets meaning from the chaos of your experiences and brings order to your world. Let me emphasize again that, one, everyone has creative abilities. And two, we are all creating our own realities at every moment. Let me illustrate this by having you look at the large no-smoking signs on the walls. Do you recognize the sign at one glance? Or do you see it in parts, small sections, letter by letter? When I am being deliberately analytical, I feel I see the world in pieces. What is really going on is that the eye really does see things in pieces. It vibrates with great speed, taking brief, narrow pictures of the world. Then the mind combines or fuses those individual pictures into a larger picture, a creation. It's this creation that gives us a sense of the whole. So the mind, then, creates an interpretation of what comes in through the senses. Now, I'll explain how art is connected with this process of interpretation and ordering of the world. The artist sees a fragmentary, disordered series of events, pieces of light, color, parts of conversations, and brings them together into a work of art to make the world more understandable. But art is not just an activity for professional artists. The real story is that we do the same things as the artist every day, all the time. In this way, we are all artists and creators in our lives, without effort. Now, you may be wondering at this point why so many people want to be more creative, if, as we said, human beings are naturally creative. I'm going to answer that by telling you that although the mind is spontaneously creative when we are very young, as we grow older, the mind tends to become caught in repetitive patterns. Then the mind operates imitatively, not creatively, seeing the world the same way day after day after day. In this state of mind, you are not creating anything new because your mind is not exploring new ways of looking at things. So the problem seems to be how to remove the barriers to creativity that we build as we grow older. We don't need to add something new to ourselves. We just need to find ways to free the creative ability that is already inside us. To give a practical illustration of what I mean, I'd like to talk about something that I think often inhibits the creative process: our tendency to put too many limits on solutions to a problem. What do I mean by too many limits? Look at your handout. There you see 9 dots in 3 rows. try to draw no more than 4 straight connected lines that will touch all 9 dots.
Part 2.
Did you solve the problem? You probably had trouble if you were not willing to go outside the limits and closing the 9 dots. Those boundaries are imaginary. Look at this solution.
Wow, I'd never think of that.
You gotta be kidding.
It seems so easy now.
I got it.
Yeah. I got it.
Yeah.
Great. I'm glad some of you solved the puzzle this way. But there are other solutions, too. Did any of you solve the puzzle in another way? Come on, don't be shy. No idea is silly as long as it solves the problem. Yes, do you have a solution?
Well, you didn't say we had to use only a pen or pencil, so I cut the dots apart and arranged them in a straight line and then connected them.
Very original. Anyone else? Any other solutions? Yes, go ahead.
How about this? You can tape the handout of the puzzle to a globe and then keep circumnavigating the globe with your pen until you pass through all the dots.
Wonderful! Very imaginative. Now, I have to tell you the solution that my 10-year-old daughter came up with. She solved the problem by using a very fat line. Okay, so now you see how your own mind may put limits on the possible solutions to a problem because you're just seeing things in standard, ordinary ways. The fact of the matter is that to be creative, we have to be able to look at things in extraordinary new ways. Obviously, when you try to solve a problem creatively, you first have to figure out what the problem is. Don't state the problem too narrowly, too specifically, or you might limit the number of solutions that you will come up with. Let me give you another practical example of solving a problem creatively. Let's say that your problem is to design a playground. If you think the problem is where to put the playground equipment, you are looking at the problem too narrowly. If you think the problem is both designing the playground equipment and then deciding where to place the equipment, you give yourself a much more creative problem with the possibility for a greater variety of solutions. So, I can't emphasize this enough. When you state a problem, don't state it too narrowly, or you will see it too narrowly, and you will limit the possible solutions. So, you can see now how our creative abilities can be blocked in a variety of ways. But the real deal is that our culture plays a big part in blocking creative potential. Psychologists say that people in many countries seem to have 4 main cultural blocks to creativity. Let me list them for you. First, we tend to believe that playfulness and humor in problem solving are for children, not adults. Second, we tend to think that feelings, intuition, and pleasure are bad, whereas logic, reason, and numbers are good. Third, most of us think that tradition is better than change. And finally, we believe that scientific thinking and great quantities of money can solve any problem. Let's go over each of these ideas one at a time. First, despite what you may have heard, humor and creativity are definitely connected. They both open up areas of thought and feeling and connect things or ideas that were never put together before. For example, with a joke, well, wait, let me illustrate. A psychiatrist and a patient are talking. And the patient says, "I'm getting really worried about my brother, Doc. He thinks he's a chicken." And the doctor says, "Well, why don't you bring him to me for help?" And the patient answers, "Oh, no, we can't do that." "Why not?" asks the doctor. And the patient answers, "Because we need the eggs." Okay. It's not a great joke. But think about it. You did laugh. So what happened here? You expect that there will be logic to the story. And the logic is broken by the surprise punchline, "Because we need the eggs." This is exactly what makes it funny. The punchline about the eggs was not expected. Creativity is also the appearance of the unexpected. And by the way, there's another connection between humor and creativity. To be creative, you must be willing to be laughed at, because we often laugh at the unusual. In fact, many of the important ideas in science were laughed at when they were first presented to the public. Okay, so the next item on our list of cultural blocks to creativity is that reason and logic are better than feelings and intuition. Now, although reason and logic are useful, many great ideas come to people while they are dreaming. In fact, one of the most famous works of the composer Richard Wagner came to him in a dream. So, be open to your dreams, imagination, and feelings. Now, the third thing to consider is the relationship of tradition and change. Tradition is valued and worthwhile, but it is often a block to creativity because it represents the ordinary and familiar. The creative process involves things that are new and different. But change is not easy. It takes hard work and great courage. Working for change demands creativity. And what do you think about the final point, that scientific thinking and lots of money can solve any problem? Yes, in the back. What do you think?
Well, I believe that this is true only when scientific thinking is also creative thinking. You know, in the ways you've been telling us about. I also think that the money itself has to be used creatively.
Yes, very interesting. Let's discuss that further when we have more time. So, in conclusion, I will summarize what I've said today. Even though the creative process happens unconsciously, the reality is that we can still train ourselves to be more creative people. We can do this by removing the limitations we place on ourselves and by becoming aware of any cultural blocks that may inhibit the creative process. Well, that's all for today. Thank you, and see you next week.